All right, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning here at Lighthouse Discipleship Center. My name is Dave Everett, and I'm going to be continuing part two of a series I started a few weeks ago called Surely. And so apologize for our delay the last few weeks. We've been going through some things. Anyway, we're here back. This is part two of now a two-part series titled Surely. All right, just so you know, all of our teachings are archived on our website, lighthousediscipleship.org, as well as our YouTube channel, Lighthouse Discipleship Center. And without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into our message this morning. So, this is a part two of a message I started a few weeks ago, and I titled it Surely. And the reason I call it titled Surely, because there's a main verse that's just been resounding in our hearts over the last few weeks, especially mine. And whatnot, and just regarding just God's word, His promises, His nature, and so. But with that, it also springboarded me to look at all the Surely verses in the Word of God and Scripture. And I'm not going to be going through all those this morning, or even last time we were together. But I want to look at a handful of them this morning, as well as springboard to some other things that God's put in my heart. So this will be, like it was a few weeks ago, about a short message, but just kind of short and to the point. Okay, sometimes less is more. And so we'll just see how the Holy Spirit goes and how it comes out this morning. So anyway, our key verse that I just mentioned is from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14, where it says, "Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." This is a promise, okay? This is a word of God. He's actually quoting from Genesis, from Abraham. But if we are Abraham's seed, if we are of Christ, then we are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, the word of God says. And so this is for us, okay? And he says, I will bless you. See, it was good enough for God. It would have been good enough for God to say, I will bless you. Okay, I will. When God says, I will do something, He will do something. But that wasn't enough, so He tagged on, in blessing, while I'm blessing you, I will bless you. And as if that were not good enough, He put an oath on it, saying, surely, in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply it. The Word of God, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of blessing, and the kingdom of multiplication. Okay? Now, some religious folks are already turning me off, thinking, hey, you're just one of those prosperity preachers, and in a sense I am, but I will get into that in just a moment, okay? We'll deal with that. Just give me your good ear for a little bit. He said, God, the Word of God, no matter where you stand on this, God says, surely, in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply. And for us to look at this any differently would be to call God a liar. Because I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply. We can take this to the bank. God put His oath on it. He said, surely, I will bless you. While I'm blessing you, I will bless you more. The kingdom, the Word of God from Genesis to the book of Revelation is nothing but a book full of blessings. It's not the only thing. There's many attributes to our salvation. Yes, the main thing that we have a relationship with God. And in that relationship, we get to go to heaven. And in that relationship, we get to avoid hell. Even going to heaven and avoiding hell is not the main thing. The main thing is a relationship with God. Because the main thing you're going to be doing in heaven is having that relationship with God face to face. The best thing about heaven is God is there, and the worst thing about hell is God is not there. Okay, He's not there. There's no God-forsaken place on this planet yet, because the earth is filled with His glory. At the same point in time, hell will be a place, will be a godless hell. Yet that's not the main point. The main point of Christianity is a relationship with God, and the only way you can have a relationship with God is to receive Jesus. And through that relationship, you get to have a relationship over all eternity with God face to face. But there are many other benefits of this relationship with God. And one of those is being blessed. You will see that in Israel. Look at the Old Testament, for example. When they had a relationship with God, they were blessed. When they did not, the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh you'll reap corruption. They saw corruption. Their worst days, Israel, throughout Old Testament history, was the times that they did not have a relationship with God. They were living in sin. They were living contrary to God and His principles. They were not walking with God. They were not living for God. And there was corruption. But when they were walking with God, when they were trusting Him, when God was their God and He was their Lord, they were blessed. Okay? It's not the main thing. It's not the main goal. But it's a benefit. But we also need, we need to know who God is, and we need to know who we are, and we need to trust His word when He says, surely blessing, I will bless you and multiply, and I will multiply. He says, surely, that's the title of this message, surely God will bless you. And if you disagree with that, I'm going with what God says, not with what you say. Okay? Because you can't say, surely He won't bless me. You can't say, surely He won't multiply me. But God has told me, God has promised me, surely in blessing I will bless you. And I can take that to the bank. I put in my faith in what God said. Excuse me, I put my faith in the word of God. Surely, blessing, I will be blessed. Okay? Let's go to another one. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God. And afflicted. I should have continued the verse. I didn't do this last time either. But it goes on to say that by His stripes we were healed. Surely Jesus through the cross bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He took our sorrows, He took our sin, He took our sickness, He took everything about the curse, and He took it to the cross. Surely He did it. Isaiah 53 is one of the cornerstone verses of Christianity. That surely Jesus paid for our sins. And He paid for the curse of sin. Which means, because sickness is a curse. Lack is a curse. You read the Levitical law. Sickness is a curse. Lack is a curse. Okay? Again, that's not the main thing, but the main thing is a relationship with God. The main thing is our sins are forgiven, and surely they are. Surely He's taken our sins and our sorrows. And He nailed them to the cross. Surely He has done it. No matter what man says, no matter what my own mind says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what anyone else says, if it's contrary to the word of God, I'm going with God. Surely I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am sanctified. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. And I put my faith in Jesus and His resurrection. And I am a child of God. I am born again. He goes on to say in Psalm 23, another mark. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness, God's glory, His goodness, His mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I know trains today don't have a caboose, but back in the day when I was growing up, they had a caboose. Goodness and mercy are my caboose no matter where I go. All the days of my life. There's no conditions on this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wherever you go, wherever your feet shall tread, whatever your hand shall touch, whatever you should do, doing the will of God, surely mercy, goodness and mercy will follow me all day. You mess up, His mercy is there. You need provision, you need wisdom, you need healing, you need strength, His goodness is there. Every good and perfect thing comes from Him. His goodness, His glory is always there. God is never withholding His goodness from you because it's following you all the days of your life. You've never outsinned God where His mercy is not new and fresh every morning, because every time you get up, it's right there. It's been following you all day through life. And if it's following you and you sleep on your back, you've been sitting in goodness and mercy all day long. all night long. Because you, it's following you. It's with you always. His goodness and his mercy will never leave you or forsake you. Surely his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, that you would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, and these are just some of the verses I'm pointing out. There's many more I can focus on. I'm going to focus on a couple more. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Okay? No matter how you're feeling, no matter what anyone else says, no matter what you've done, his goodness and his mercy is there all the days. Am I endorsing sin? Am I endorsing you to do things wrong? No. His mercy is there, not so you continue in sin, but so you can stop sinning. Stop being stupid. Okay? His goodness, his mercy is there all the days of your life. Okay? Excuse me. Let's go to Psalm 54. Psalm 54, verse 4 says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. No matter what it is, his goodness is there. His help, he is your helper. Surely God is my help, and the Lord is the one who sustains me. Okay, surely. You can bank on this. Psalm 5:12 says, surely, the Lord, you bless the righteous. And you surround them with your favor as with a shield. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the righteousness of God in Him. You didn't earn it. It was a gift. It's called the gift of righteousness. It's the righteousness of God by faith. By faith in His grace. And He blesses the righteous. Surely blessing, He will bless you. And multiplying, He will multiply you. But he will bless the righteous. He will surround you with his favor, with his grace, as with a shield. His favor is a shield. Whatever you're going through in life, in your finances, in your work, in your workplace, in your relationships, his favor surrounds you like with a shield. A shield protects. A shield sustains. Okay, he's guarding you. He's surrounding you. Because there's more with us than there are with him. There's nothing too strong for that can outwit the favor of God. Surely he will surround you with favor as with a shield. So again, going back to our main verse, surely blessing he will bless you, and cursing he will, surely blessing he will bless you, and multiplying he will multiply you. All right. Amen. Awesome. Well, since we're talking so much about the blessings of God, and we're talking about all these sureties, and I didn't do completely justice because there's so many more. I just didn't have to let it go down the road with all of them this morning. But we're basically talking about the promises of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for all the promises of God are in Him. Of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen to the glory of God through us. All of God's promises, all of these surely verses that I just mentioned this morning, and I just mentioned a few, they are all in Him yes, and they are all amen. Amen means so be it. Okay? To the glory of God. To God is glorified by His promises. For you to, for any of you to downgrade or degrade the promises of God, you are degrading God's glory. Amen or all me. Okay? And so, God is glorified when all of His promises come into fruition. And all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen to the glory of God through us. God has always worked through His people. Since Adam, and since that till now, God always works through people, for good or for bad. The devil works through people. The enemy works through people. Okay? The enemy works through Adam to bring the whole human race into sin. And God worked through Christ as the Son of Man to redeem all man to Himself. for those who would receive him. God has always worked through people, and God will continue to work through people. He has redeemed us by his blood. We are kings and priests unto our God. Okay? And all the promises are yes. Surely blessing, he will bless me. That promise is yes, and that promise is amen, so be it, to God's glory, and it's done through us. How is it done to us? First of all, we need to believe it. If we don't believe it, it won't work for you. Let me put that in the right context. If you don't believe it, it won't work for you. If I don't believe it, it won't work for me. We need to believe the Word of God. Okay? The communication of your faith becomes effectual as you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon 1:6. Your faith doesn't become effectual until you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. And everything good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus includes, and surely blessing, he will bless you, and multiply, he will multiply you. And this promise is yes in him, there's amen in him, to the glory of God through us, through me, through you. We can appropriate this promise, we can appropriate it by believing it and standing on that word. Because God says, it's through us that these promises are yes and amen in the world. Let's go to another scripture about the promises. It says in 2 Peter, beginning chapter 1, beginning verse 2. Excuse me. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Okay, pause there just for a moment before I go to verse 4. Okay? God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in the knowledge of him. If you need anything for life, and I'm not preaching against godliness, God has given you everything you need to be godly, but everything you need in life and everything you need for godliness is found in the knowledge of God. Okay? And it goes on to say, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. I want us to pause enough to make sure that we're capturing this. God has given us great and precious promises that are yes and amen. They are surely, 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 surely God's promise. They are seeing great promises. Now, through these promises, we may be partakers of his divine nature. That's huge. It's for you, for anyone to degrade the promises of God, you are degrading the fact that we are to be partakers of his divine nature. He gave us, these are a gift. They were given to us. Great and precious promises. That through these promises, we may be partakers of his divine nature. Didn't Jesus not say, you shall do the works that I've done and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father? He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us redemption to the cross. He's given us great and precious promises that through these we may be partakers of his divine nature. Are we not born again? Are we not children of God? Are we not born of incorruptible seed? Are we not born of God? If we're born of God, we have his nature. We have the fullness of God in us. Of his fullness we have seen grace for grace. John 1:16, of his fullness we have received. Ephesians 3:19. Okay. That through these precious promises we might be partakers of his divine natures. Through the promises that surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, we might be partakers of his divine nature. We are blessed to be a blessing. I don't want to be blessed just so I have money. And the blessing is not just about money, but it doesn't exclude that either. Excuse me, I want to be blessed to be a blessing. To preach the gospel, to do the things that God has called me to do. Okay? for you not to want, for you to disagree or downgrade these precious promises, then you are downgrading the gift, you're downgrading the potential that you have to be more partaker of it, to my nature, having escaped the corruptions in this world through us. It's through these promises that we escape the corruption that's in this world through us. God's given us the keys of the kingdom, and this is part of the keys of the kingdom, are the promises of God. Keys lock and unlock for us to be partakers of God's nature. Calling those things that are not as though they are. And there's so many different things. Let's go to one more. Ephesians 3:20. Right, let's refresh this. There we go. Now to Him, God, who is able to do exceedingly. You know, that's the second time we're seeing this word exceedingly. Abundantly, above all that we ask or think. According to the power. What power? Well, it was through the promises that we were able to be partakers of divine nature. It's through the promises that it's through us. It's through us. And according to the power that works where? In us. Either, if this doesn't wake you up, your wood is wet, okay? We need to get on fire to believe in that surely blessing He has blessed us. God is, you know, one of the things that gets me fired up in a good way is, and when I don't see it working in my life, it gets me fired up to find out where is the disconnect. Is that Christianity is supposed to work. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. When we walk in the room, we should, by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God in us, we should be changing the atmosphere in that place. Through worship, through praise, through exalting and magnifying God, we are living epistles of His goodness. We should be laying hands on the sick, we recover. We should be speaking words of life. And people should be looking at our lives and saying, I want what you have. And God is able. God is out way up there somewhere. The previous verse 19, said that He were filled with His fullness. The fullness of God is in us. And He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above more than we ask or even imagine. I think, according to the power that's been. There's chapter 1, same book. We have the resurrection power. We have the same power to raise Christ from the dead living in us. Folks, we are living too far below in blessing He will bless us and multiplying He will multiply us. Folks, so many of us are settling for the muddy pond when God has given us a vast ocean of His goodness and His mercy and His nature. Again, surely blessing. Surely. I want that word to just sink into your vocabulary, sink into your spirit, sink into your mind and your emotion. Surely. Blessing. I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Folks, we need to get that. And even though the word surely is not used in some of these other passages, the concept is there. Surely, all the promises are yes and amen. Surely, we should be partakers of His divine nature. Surely, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ever ask or imagine, according to His power that works in us. Now, I want to go back to you real quick. Being partakers of divine nature. I should have repeated this slide, but put it down the pipeline. But 2 weeks ago, or a few weeks ago when we were back together, I piggybacked off this. It was more of a spontaneous just inclusion. I want to go that direction again this morning. That it's through these precious promises, it's through these sureties, if I can. to that we are to be partakers of God's nature. And by doing that, I began to think of the seven redemptive names of God. And I quoted them for you last week, and this week I want to put them on the screen one by one. And if we are partakers of God's nature, then we need to know who God is. What is his nature? Now, these seven redemptive names of God don't fully explain all of his nature, but they sure give a very good snapshot of it. Okay? The first one we find in Genesis 22, we're not going to go to these scriptures, but I did put the scriptures there where you can find them. But the first one is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. Some of you are against prosperity. You fight against it, you preach against it, you condemn it. And yet God's name is that he is our provider. So if you are against God, if you're against God providing for us, then you are against God. You are against the nature of God. And you, these precious promises won't work for you. But I am not going to nullify who God is and his nature. He is my provider. The Lord is the one who provides. He's my provider. Okay? He's Jehovah. That is his name. And we are to be partakers of his nature. We're supposed to be partakers of this. The second one is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. You can find this in Exodus 15:26. I just saw a post this morning about how God never heals. And it's like, where are you reading the Bible? Because Jesus did it all the time. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and he healed all the time. It was one of the main reasons they wanted to kill him. It's because he heals on the Sabbath. Okay? By his stripes, we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And one of the Shirley verses that I didn't fill the whole verse, but from Isaiah 53. Surely by his stripes, we were healed. We are healed. And Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, that's who he is. That's his nature. And we're supposed to be partakers of that nature, which is healing. Provision and healing are the two things that get criticized the most. And they're his nature. They're his name. And it's through these precious promises that we are partakers of his nature. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory. You can find this in Exodus 17:14-15. These are not put in order of priority, but they are put in order of where they're found chronologically in Scripture. Okay? And so, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He's my victory. Whenever I think of a banner, I think of back in the day when they were getting homesteads, and they would put a flag in the ground saying, this is my homestead. At least I saw that from a movie somewhere. Okay? I don't know how much all that's true. But it's your banner. He's our victory. That's what it means. His banner over me is love. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory. Okay? You read Ephesians chapter 2. We are born into victory. Okay? Jehovah Makedesh. The Lord is who sanctifies. You can find this in Leviticus 27:3. You know what I love about this one? The most. If you read Leviticus, actually, I think it might be Exodus 20. I'll have to relook at that. I might give you the wrong reference. Because where this is found, God is giving the Ten Commandments. So I'm pretty sure it's Exodus 20. I think I gave you the wrong book. Right chapter and verse, but wrong book. Because this is found right when God has given the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, murder, etc., etc., etc. Right in the middle of all that, the law, we find the name of God, the Lord who sanctifies. God's telling us not what we should not do through the law. In the middle of that, He says, I'm the one that sanctifies you. You don't sanctify yourself. God sanctifies you. He makes you holy. And he can only make you holy by his blood. Okay? And so, anyway, for the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom. Judges 6:13. The Lord is our peace and our prosperity. Again, prosperity. People don't attack that. There's two names of God that speak to prosperity. Plus, Jehovah Nisi, he's our victory. Okay? Jehovah Shalom. And anyone who knows enough Hebrew, this is people's greeting. And when they greet you, when they say goodbye, they say shalom, they're putting a blessing on you and your household. God's peace and God's prosperity to you, your family, your business, whatever involves with you. And we wonder why they're so such a blessed nation. Because they are blessing at each other all the time in their greetings and their salutations. Okay, their benedictions. Okay? They do this religiously, but there's some things that are good that we do this in a sense. Okay, anyway. Jehovah Tenescu. Yet the Lord is our righteousness. Found this in Jeremiah 23:5-6. Anyone who knows me, I teach a lot of righteousness. And him who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay? The Lord is my righteousness. I don't make myself righteous. He makes me righteous. Righteousness is a noun, not a verb. I put on righteousness. Ephesians 4:24. Okay, not what I do, it's who I am in him. Righteousness is in a right relationship with God. It's a right relationship with God. And we can only receive that through the blood of Jesus. We can only see that as a gift from God. We can't earn it. We can't earn righteousness. It doesn't work that way. That's called self-righteousness. And self-righteousness, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag. It's like a dirty feminine cloth. Now, I know that's gross, but that's what a filthy rag is in Scripture. Okay? And so it's gross. Well, of course it's gross, because self-righteousness is gross. Okay? And the last one is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present. He is always present. Okay, find that in Ezekiel 48:35. These are the seven redemptive names of God. Okay, and so it's through these precious promises that we are partakers of his divine nature. It's through his precious promises that we are partakers of his provision, his healing, his banner, his sanctification, and his peace and prosperity, his righteousness, and his presence is always with us. Goodness and mercy, his presence is always with us. Jehovah Shema is always with us. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. All these things are speaking of blessing. They're not curses. They're not conditional. They're his name. They're his nature. And it's through these promises that we are partakers of his divine nature. Surely we shall be blessed. You are blessed if you have his provision. You are blessed if you have his healing. You are blessed if you have his victory. You're blessed if you have his peace and prosperity. You're blessed if you have his righteousness. And you are blessed if you have his presence. There's blessing with that. Surely, blessing, he will bless you. And multiply, he will multiply you. Well, because this is true, these are the seven redemptive names of God. These are the nature of God. This is who God is. God is blessing. His name is blessing. Okay? Now, Jesus, in John 17, before he went to the cross, he spent some time praying to his Father. And this is just before he gets arrested. This is just before he goes to the cross. And he's praying to the Father. And in that prayer, he's also praying for you and me. He's praying for us. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us. And there's a few, three or four profound things he said in these prayers that I want to highlight this morning. So in John 17, the first one in verse 6, Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I want to read this from the... So anyway, actually, I would think I have it again here in the... in our translation, but let's go with this just for a moment. He says, I have manifested your name. Another translation that we'll read in a moment says, I have revealed your name. God has manifested his provision. He has manifested his healing. He has manifested his name, his banner, his victory. He has manifested his sanctification. He has manifested his peace and prosperity. He has manifested his righteousness, and he has manifested his presence. The NNT, the New English Translation, says he has revealed his name. He has revealed his provision, his presence, his righteousness, his healing, his peace and prosperity, his sanctification, and everything else I miss. He had revealed his name to us. It goes more, goes deeper. In John 7, in verse 11, it says, now Jesus is still praying to the Father. He says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with you in them, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. And those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now he's talking about Jesus right there at the end. But God says, I have kept them in your name. He's revealed his name to us. He's kept us in his name. We are to be kept in his name. God revealed his name to you. God has revealed his name to you. God has manifested his name to you. God has kept you in his name. He's kept you in provision. He's kept you in healing. He's kept you in victory. He's kept you in sanctification. He's kept you in peace and prosperity. He's kept you in righteousness. And he's kept you in his presence. This is deep. And you can't be kept in God's name, his nature, without but surely blessing, he'll bless you. And one more. Verse 26. I have declared to them your name. Kind of goes with the first one. But he declared his name to us. That surely blessing, he will bless us. He declared his name. He's declared his provision, his healing, his victory, his sanctification, his peace and prosperity, his righteousness, and his presence. Okay. Surely, again, it's just a very simple message. I'm taking it many different angles this morning. I'm trying to hammer it in. Yesterday I was taking apart some pallets, and there's some pallets I was taking about, and there's some stubborn nails. And there's some nails I was just pounding it again and again and again, because you are going to come out. Folks, we need to saturate our hearts and our minds and get this into our thinkers, get this into our hearts. That's surely blessing. He will bless us and multiply. We multiply. We need to get a revelation. We need to see the manifestation of his name, of his presence, of who he is, his nature. Because it's through these precious promises that we are partakers of his nature. What's his nature? Let's go one more time. Let's go through here. His nature is provision. His nature is healing. His nature is victory. His nature is sanctification. His nature is peace and prosperity. His nature is righteousness. And his nature is that he's always present. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. There's no more appropriate word. And there's just one word that's been resounding in my mind over the last few months. Surely. Surely. See, when you study, your faith will not get increased just by studying faith. Your faith will increase by studying the nature and the goodness of God. Because when you study the fact that He is my provider, He is my healer, He is my victory, He is my peace and prosperity, He is my sanctification, He is my righteousness, and He is always present with me. Surely His goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely His favor surrounds me like a shield. Surely He has borne my griefs and sorrows and never forgot. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. Surely. Surely. That is something to my faith. My faith becomes effectual as I acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. Surely. Surely you are blessed. And you are not cursed. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Amen.